Haymaker Coffee Company was established in 2021 to create the best coffee to fuel the underdogs who perseveres, who hustles, and have the give-it-all mentality to achieve their American dream. Haymaker Coffee only roasts top quality, specialty-grade coffee beans, resulting in brews that satisfies those who demand every drop from their coffee and day. If you work hard, run hard, fight hard, and play hard, we have your coffee right here.
Welcome into another edition of the Stripe Show podcast. Man, we have had a crazy, crazy week in golf. I mean, if you watched any of everything that went down at Torrey, it was a great tournament. It looked like Sam Ryder was going to win.
I know.
And then all of a sudden,
just for the pants, man, the pants.
Now, we're here with Charles Kelly, Lady A. Charles, thank you for joining us. You've been on the podcast before. So much to talk about. You're playing in the AT&T this week. We'll get into that, everything that's going on, but I'm with you. I like the pants. Do you like the jogger pants?
I actually went on and because I forgot that I actually owned a pair of those in black, and I went on the website to see them in that color, and they were all sold out. So he obviously sold some of them. I don't rock them often, but I'll wear them once in a blue moon, you know, and you'll get a couple of your buddies make fun of you, but I actually think they're pretty cool.
I like them, and I'll be honest with you. So we've got a mutual friend, Rod, our friend Rod.
Yeah.
I asked him one day, I'm like, yo, because I go to him because he usually will give it to me straight, like, no, don't wear that. Yeah. I said, hey, it's cool if I wear joggers, right? And his answer was, Sam Hunt wears joggers. I'm like, all right, if Sam Hunt can wear joggers, I can wear joggers, right?
There you go. No, nah, man,
I'm not Sam Hunt, though.
It's part of the style, man. I'll throw a little bit of it here and there, but most of the time I'm pretty traditional when it comes to golf. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. It's like, you know, I got some of these like old school, the FootJoys were, you know, they got the old school look with the, I don't know what you call them, just like the classic.
Tips on them.
Yep. And I like that classic look, but every now and then though, man, I'll rock a little jogger out there.
I tell you who wears those tips all the time is Billy Horschel. He always has crazy
FootJoys. That's kind of what that's exactly what they kind of like to wear. I don't know. It reminds me of, just, you know, it's just like if you could look like Arnold Palmer, you know, I mean, that guy, he was just, exactly. He always looked badass.
The tournament was great, though. I think, you know, it came down to the final pairing on Sunday. It included Sam Ryder, John Rahm. John Rahm been on a tear lately, and it looked like, you know, John would be the one to give Sam a run for his money.
I thought he would, but Homa's been playing strong. Actually, Homa was in a group or two ahead, but it was. You know, I mean, the last guy you would have thought would have faltered would have been John Rahm, you know?
Right. Just playing on a tear lately. I mean, he'd won two of his last three starts.
I know. He was due one bad round. I mean, you gotta think at some point you're gonna have a bad round. So
exactly. You following the Rory and Reed saga at all in the desert?
A little bit. I had to get kind of filled in on it yesterday. Cause I was like, what is this whole thing about? And I was like, oh, okay. Makes a lot of sense. But I guess what did Rory end up beating him by one?
He did. Rory made a pretty good putt on 17 to make birdie.
Wow.
His tee shot on 18 landed on the hazard line. It was rolling in the water, stopped on the hazard line. He laid up on a par five, knocked it to about 20 feet and rolled it in. And
that was the golf guys rooting for the good guys, wasn't it?
That is, you know what? And it is. The PGA Tour guys are the good guys and the LIV guys are the not so good guys.
Well, listen, I don't know. I don't like throwing any stones, you know, because I like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but you just keep hearing story and story and story and story over and over again about one guy. And you're like, okay, at some point there must be some truth to it. But I still haven't quite made up my mind completely about the whole LIV thing. I mean, all I know is I just want him to figure something out because, you know, you want the best to be competing against the best, you know?
Right.
I didn't really take it too seriously until Cam Smith went over there. That's when I was like, oh, shoot, this thing's getting out of hand now.
It really is. And that's the thing. I'm glad the majors are going to let them play, actually, because you do want the majors contested with the best players in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, that at least kind of solved it. But I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't know. I've never been put in a position to make that kind of a decision, but I don't know. I'm big, at least right now, it's just all about legacy, you know? And so to me, you know, where's your legacy going to live on? And that's PGA Tour, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to win a trophy. And when you look down the list, there's guys of Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods. There's other major stars on it, not starting a league. And so But once again, to offer somebody that kind of money, it's difficult to say no. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, again, it's easy for us to say it on one side when you're not sitting there going, this is would be life changing. But, I don't know.
It is tough. So, Charles, you're playing this week, AT&T Pro-Am. This is a fun tournament to watch.
It is. It's so much fun, man. I'm got my boy Kevin Kisner again, two Georgia grads. So I got a new golf bag. I felt like I needed to send it. It's got a Georgia logo on it. And I was like, man, I almost need to send it back and get the little 21-22 stitched on it for our back to back. But that'll be fun, man. We have a good time. He always gives me a lot of crap, and we just get out there and have a good time, so it, never know what guy's going to show up that day. I can get out there and literally play the first day and want to quit the game. And then the next day have the great round. So it's just, I just going to have to see who shows up that day or this weekend.
A lot of big names out there. Jim Nance was rolling some of them off on the broadcast on Sunday. I mean, I know Jake Owens playing. Yeah, Josh Allen, quarterback of the Bills, is playing. Yep. There's a lot of really big names.
There is.
In this tournament. How many years have you played this?
This is probably 1 or 2 years we were touring. I think we were like 1 year we were overseas, and then another year. But I bet you in the past 7, 8 years, I've probably played 5, 6 times.
Wow.
And so I've only made the cut once. There's 150 teams. And, only 25 make the cut. So you got about a 17% chance. So you got to have a lot of good things kind of happen. Your pro has to play well, and you have to play well. And, you got your stroke holes. So, what's the worst feeling is when you finally have a birdie and your pro makes a birdie and you're like, well, that was a waste.
So how many shots do you get aside?
I'm going to get 5. I'm going to get 5 total. I'm actually about to go check in here now. I can't remember last time if I got 6, depending on the on what the slope, if they end up. But I know I'm coming in as a 5, so hopefully I'll get 6. I'll try to grease the wheels a little bit, see if I can get 6. Because you want as many shots as you can. One year I came in, I only got 3 or 4. And, this just starts adding up, 2 shots each day, 6 shots, that, and usually, usually I'll miss the cut by like 2 or 3 shots, so if I had an extra 6 shots, right. So got a lot of guys coming out here sandbagging pretty bad, so you want to try to get as big as you can, but honestly, after this many years now, I've kind of come to the, I still feel very competitive and want to be competitive. I would love to win it one day. You always want to make the cut, but it's a long week. And it's just, I think after this many years of doing it, it's just really try to soak it up and enjoy it, because there's been some years, where you're playing like crap on the first 9 and then you forget that you're, behind the ropes at Pebble Beach, and it becomes golf again. You're like, whoa, no, this isn't just golf. This is an experience, So there's some of those moments that, I just want to keep taking, not taking for granted and really just trying to soak up while I'm here.
When it comes to country music, I know you are you're one of the best players out there. Who are the other really good players?
Jake Owen, man. If he played a little bit more, he plays a lot, but I know if he, he's got one of those swings. If he played and really went after it, he's just really, really strong. I played with Jake at the Augusta National 1 year. We were lucky enough to go out there, and he shot 72 with ease. It was just like, and I've played with Jake when he's shot 83 before too, but those are rare. Like this guy, he's just really consistent. But yeah, Jake's great. Me and Darius have some good matches together. He's a solid golfer, and there's a lot of good golfers, honestly. Obviously, that Colt Ford's, used to be pro. You got, I haven't played with him, but I heard Justin Lynch is supposed to be really good. So, there's some good guys out there.
I've
heard Justin's good.
I've talked to Justin about golf. Luke Bryan's not bad. And Cole Swindell's actually decent.
Yeah, I haven't played with Cole, but I played with Luke. Luke's not bad at all. And Luke really just started picking the game back up, So I feel like I haven't gotten any worse or any better. And literally since I was in high school, I'm literally the same golfer. I don't practice, I play. And so You know, I have some years I get down to a three, and then some years I can get as high as a seven. But like, I feel like unless I completely change my swing up, I'll never get below a, you know, a three or four, because I've got a bit of a homemade, you know, kind of golf swing. And I don't know. It's just one of
a three is pretty good.
Well, no, three's great, but you know, I mean, growing up in Augusta, Georgia, both my brothers, you know, college golfers, it's like, I'd love to get down to scratch. That would be amazing. Right. But I would have to sacrifice 2 years of the worst golf of my life while I completely retooled everything. Like, I have a huge dip. I have a, you know, a weak grip. I mean, Kevin Kisner will tell me all about it every each of these rounds. I'll be like, what just happened there? He goes, well, first off, you're 6'6" and you reach down to the ball like you're 5'8". You know, I dip down to it. And so it's funny. I've got all kinds of little, you know, just old quirks, but you know, I still strike the ball pretty solid. If I can get my short game going, you know, that's kind of what usually bails me out is some, you know, decent little chipping and putting. But I should be able to beat the living crap out of a golf ball. I'm 6'6" and I don't hit it any longer than, you know, any of my buddies.
Really? You'd think you would.
Yeah, it's
tall as long levers, you know what I mean?
I lose a lot of power. I have just this nasty little dip in arms and golf swing, but I can get it going though. You know, I can get pretty consistent, you know, when I'm playing a lot.
So you're playing this week and it's good. It's good to see you, you know, back out. I know you're back out on the road, Charles, and I know you've been through a lot the last 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. So let's go back to when it started. What was the straw that broke the camel's back, per se, that made you say, hey, I've got to do something different this time?
I mean, there were some specific events, you know, that obviously I want to keep kind of personal, but definitely it was just getting exhausting. You know, I think for me, you know, like, my marriage, there was so much stress and worry. I think, you know, my wife was worried about me. The band was worried about me. It just got to a point where I was like, I don't know why I'm drinking, you know, you just kind of drinking a drink, you know? And I think I got to the point where it just became exhausting. It wasn't even fun. I think the last 3 years kind of got that way. And so, you know, it's weird. I feel like so much has changed for me in the past 6 months that, you know, I really don't even recognize that guy. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say I was like running off the rails, but I was definitely heading in a direction that I didn't want to be, you know. And I just feel fortunate that I kind of caught it and had, you know, like my wife, a really strong woman who, you know, helped encourage me to, you know, get some help. And same thing with the band, you know, and they've only been encouraging and stuck by me. And, you know, I feel like this is kind of a new journey for me and feels like kind of, you know, finding my new purpose. And I keep telling all my friends, I said, man, who would have thought I get to say I'm a, you know, I get to be a sober dad to Ward, you know? I think that was probably my biggest motivation, was like, I could just see with every year that went by, I just was a little bit more, you know, where I just needed it, you know? It right. wasn't like fun. I just did it to do it. And so I think it was just heading in that direction where, I could kind of see 5 years down the road, this being something that, you know, could really, you know, potentially ruin my career and my marriage, you know?
Which is, you know, it's absolutely amazing that you had the strength, number one, within to do it, and the people around you that wanted to help you. I know that I had read that you had tried to quit a couple other times. What was different this time?
Well, getting help, you know, and putting stuff in place. You know, I think, you know, they kind of call it white knuckling, and when you're trying to do it on your own, and you know, I got a lot of people around me supporting me, and a lot of friends. You know, we get together and you know, and talk through some of the journey of what it is. And you know, it's only brought me closer to my faith, which is kind of cool. You know, I've always believed in God, but I can't admit that I had much of a connection, you know. And I feel like, you know, that's what's grown probably the most. And so I don't know, it just maybe put my life into perspective a little bit more, and stop trying to chase, you know, moments, and actually kind of live a little bit more purpose, I guess, to say. You know, I don't want to sound preachy with it. I mean, it's
no,
you know, it's kind of one of those things. I just wanted something, you know, positive to come from all this, you know, and I feel like it already kind of has. And I've gotten back in like the best shape of my life. I'm, you know, I think not drinking 1,000 calories a day helps. but it makes me work out a little bit more. And just, I don't know, you know, I've been writing a ton, and, you know, I just released, you know, my first solo song in a long time, As Far As You Could, which is kind of about that journey, about putting it down, right, and to see the reaction, you know, I think that too has really shown me that, like, okay, the more, you know, the more vulnerable I can be in my songwriting, you know, whether it's about this or whether it's about anything, you know, that's what really connects with people. So it's kind of making me just want to be more honest in our songwriting when we go in and write, you know, for the next Lady A record as well, which we've started.
How different are the other things in your life? Like, do you feel better? Are you sleeping better?
Dude, I mean, I never used to like look forward to the mornings. I mean, I read a book at night most nights with my wife. You know, we're sitting there reading. I'm like, when did we turn into this old couple? But I get really excited to wake up in the morning, you know, get a workout in, whatever it is. It's just, it is, it's different. And I mean, trust me, there are moments that I miss, you know, where I'm like bored. I'm like, yep, it's 5 o'clock. There's nothing going on. There's no football game on. This is when I would have liked the drink, you know, but then you're like, look at all the other stuff that I've gotten that so far outweighs it, you know. And I live 25 years one way, and I'm, you know, ready to live, you know, the rest of it another way. And I think there's going to be a lot of adventure in that as well. You know, I just think it's going to open up just more things, you know, that I never really thought about doing, you know. So
how different is, I know you guys are back out on the road. I following you on social, I know you're performing again, and we'll talk about you performing As Far As You Could for the first time in front of an audience and what that was like. But how different is performing now when you are sober?
Honestly, I mean, I've only done it a couple of times, but it doesn't feel any different. I feel a little bit more just professional, really, you know. I think before it was always a little bit of trying to get the right mix right, you know, get the right.
You weren't, let's be honest, you weren't hammered before all the time.
No, I was always pretty professional. I had a couple times where I could get a little out of hand, but more of it for me was just the day drinking, you know, back home or on the bus, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, but no, I mean, I was always pretty well in control on stage, but I definitely feel just a little bit less than, like, I don't know, just a little bit more in control overall and soaking up the moments. And, you know, you don't accidentally throw out an F-bomb when you haven't been drinking. I found that out.
Talk
for some
a
reason
bit about
when I used to drink every now and then, I don't know why. I was like, why does drinking make me want to cuss? But it did.
It does. Talk a little bit about Hillary and Dave. I know you said they had tried to get you to quit before, and they were the driving force. Was there ever, at any point, was there ever an ultimatum given to you, or is this something you did?
In a way, you know, it was kind of more just get a handle on it. And, you know, I don't think they, you know, anybody really wanted to control me, you know, and say, hey, you got to be done or else. But it was like, you know, this is becoming an issue. And so I tried several times to kind of slow it down, and I did pretty good for a while. And then, you know, it just slowly kind of creeps back up, and you're right.
One becomes three, becomes five. And then
exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of what happens. But, you know, here we are. And, you know, again, 6 months, I feel like I'm over the hard hump. And I mean, it's always going to be, you know, one day at a time with this, but I feel like, you know, I'm settling into the new journey of it, and just excited to make music. And, you know, again, to see what this song, you know, to see it connecting with people. I mean, my wife has probably gotten more people reaching out to her than me, just because, you know, you don't realize how many people, you know, are kind of touched by, you know, that addiction side. You know, I thought I was kind of speaking to people that were in my boat and didn't realize how many, you know, it's all the other people. It's the spouses, the family members, and people that, you know, have really, you know, responded as well, kind of, you know, just maybe getting a little encouragement, or even reaching out to Cassie and saying, you know, I need a little help. What are some of the things, you know, y'all are doing at least? And I don't know. It's been kind of, it's been interesting to find a little bit of an extra purpose in this. But at the same time, I don't want to be some spokesman for it. But
well, you know what, though? That's not all bad. I mean,
yeah,
the fact that you have done this, you were able to be successful while doing it, and yet you didn't have to hit that proverbial rock bottom.
Yeah, but I do feel like I need a few more years under my belt before I can, you know, be too preachy with any of it. But no, I mean, and there, I don't think there'll ever be a preachy side to me about it, because trust me, I wish I could drink, and there's no judgment to anybody that drinks. Trust me, it just didn't work for me, you know? And so, you know, people were asking me if I'm still going to sing drinking songs. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to sing our songs about a drink. I was like, these are stories too. And that's right. A big part of my life. It was, you know, I had a good 25, well, I should say I had a good 20 year run with it. And the last 5 years were kind of rough, but.
You can still sing Hey Bartender. It's okay.
Of course. And I'll still sing I'm a Little Drunk and I Need You Now. You got to.
You know what? You know what it's like. Let me ask you another thing. Are there other country stars who have reached out, who have been supportive, who are also in the same boat? Because I think I think Jake Owen has stopped drinking as well.
Yeah. He reached out to me and said he was super proud. I mean, there's a couple other people too that, you know, again, just from a privacy standpoint, I want to, you know, keep it between us with that. But, you know, there's definitely a lot of artists and I mean, you know, that have been through it too, that have reached out and supported, and others that have, you know, said, hey man, I'm proud of you. I've been kind of thinking about slowing down myself, and, you know, and again, I don't feel like it's my place to be like, yeah, you should. I'm just kind of like, hey man, if you ever need me, I'm here, you know? And I think just, you know, to maybe be a sounding board for anybody, I'm down, you know, but I definitely don't feel like, you know, I feel like I would be a bit of a fraud if I tried to be too, you know, provide too much of advice only being, you know, 6-7 months into this.
You know, I've often wondered when we do see a concert and people are drinking on stage, a lot of time, is it not all, is it water?
Oh, mine definitely wasn't. I've heard a story of a couple artists that it is. No, mine was a solo cup with at least 3 shots of whiskey in there on the rocks, and it would get kind of watered. The problem is, you know, I put whiskey in the water, and then with the ice melts, it gets so watered down, it tastes like a sweet tea. And literally, right. You're on stage, and it almost would have been better if I drank it straight, because it would, you know, you get a little bite. It just tastes like sweet tea. You used to be, you know, drinking those things like water on stage.
Right. You know, it is going to be different. Now, let me ask you this: as far as Hillary and Dave, will there be alcohol backstage at a Lady A show?
Not this first run. You know, we're going to have a dry tour back there. You know, of course, the audience, everybody is a different story, but right. You know, they really want to do that for me. You know, they want this to stick. They want it to work. And, you know, if I'm honest, I don't think that necessarily needs to happen, but I think it can't hurt. You know, I think there's a bit of just kind of, you know, them rallying around me, you know, by doing that. And that was their decision. And I was like, man, that's really touching and amazing that, you know, I think my biggest fear was I didn't want to like put my issues on anybody else. You know, right. You got the crew and everybody that, you know, they need to unwind after a show, but I think everybody understands, you know, everybody wants longevity and with this career and wants this band to stay together. You know, so I mean, you know, I think it's going to be really cool, you know, to kind of see and, but I don't think it'll be like that forever. I mean, I think it's just why I get my feet wet. You know, this is all new, you know? So.
Right. You know, this is a spot where it's kind of a crossroads for you guys. This could have torn you guys apart, or it could have brought you closer together. And it looks like it's done the latter.
You literally preaching to the choir. I mean, I think the same goes with my marriage. I mean, this was kind of one of those things where literally I think I was put with a decision of, all right, you can choose the bottle or me, you know? And I was like, well, that's an easy decision, you know? And right. For, you know, well, I mean, I can't say though, many nights I would have made that decision, you know,
right.
But it was definitely got to that point. And, you know, I never thought I could be happy without it. And, you know, I'm living proof that you can be. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's easy and it's a struggle. I mean, it's something you know, you're used to doing your whole life. But, you know, it definitely has its pros outweigh the cons. That's for sure.
Is it hardest when you're performing? Is that when you have the hardest time, or like you said, in the afternoons when it's like boredom. 5 o'clock?
Yeah. Yeah. Just boredom times where you're like, you know, what would make, you know, this like, a, if I had to go to a cocktail party and not drink, I can't think of more torture, you know, like if I'm going to go somewhere where there's drinking, I need a purpose. Like the golf course, I don't mind people drinking. I'm playing golf.
Right.
Dinner, I'm having dinner. I don't mind if you drink. you know, and like a show, I'm up there performing. I'm working. The hardest is like I went to a like a, you know, just like a hang, like a bar, like a cocktail party thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is miserable. Like, you know, it used to like give me, you know, the courage to just talk to anybody. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a big part of my life that, you know, that's one of the part of the pros and cons, you know, and I'm sure that'll come with time where I get a little bit more comfortable in that situation, but it's part of the journey, man.
So let's talk about, I know you've been back on the road. You've done a couple shows. That first time you walk out on stage and you perform As Far As I Could.
Yeah, it was actually the first time I performed As Far As You Could. It was, I was in Augusta doing a little charity event with my brothers. And I'd played the song for my brother that day before. And he was like, Charles, this is like really special. You should do it. I said, no, man, I just wrote it. I want to wait and kind of, you know, see and wait till it's done. He's like, dude, let's just do it. And we worked it up. And the reaction was just really overwhelming, you know, and the support and all that. And so anyways, my manager had filmed it. And so I did a post about it and said, you know, I got to share this song in Augusta, and just the responses were really special. And so I don't know, you know, that was kind of when the label was like, what's this song all about? You know? And I said, well, you know, this is a song I kind of wrote about, you know, my journey and putting it down and all those things. And they were like, well, do you think this is going to be a Lady A thing or not? And I said, honestly, I really don't know. I haven't even talked to Hillary about it yet. You know, Dave and I wrote it. And she really felt really strongly that, you know, it needed to just be come from me because it's so my journey. She was like, I'm just afraid the harmonies are going to, you know, just take it into a different world and not be as powerful and authentic as just your story. And so That's kind of what we decided to do. And, you know, and with their support, you know, was able to put it out. I wrote it with Dave and, I mean, performing it there in my hometown was pretty phenomenal. And then we got to perform it recently in Orlando at a private event there. And it was just, I was like, okay, man, you know, if this song can get heard, it definitely, you know, has something to it that's connecting, you know, and that's all We're ever trying to do as songwriters, you know. And like, I've stopped trying to say this is a hit or this isn't a hit. That's definitely not my purpose with this song. This purpose is like, okay, this is my story, you know. And I wasn't really even prepared to even like take it to radio until the label got so excited about, you know, the prospect of it and really believed in it. And I mean, I think that says a lot about them, you know, that they want to take, yeah, you know, put their name and put their, you know, their energy behind a song that, you know, isn't probably the most obvious, like, you know, go to radio type of song. But I think it feels like songs that the genre was kind of, you know, born from, you know, right? Good story songs. And so, but it's definitely the most vulnerable song I've ever had. I mean, you know, I'm definitely putting it out there. I'm kind of like, all right, well, there's no turning back now.
Is it healing for you? Is it healing for you to perform that and sing that on stage?
It is. It really is. There's moments, especially looking over at Dave too, and sharing that moment with him. And, you know, that's probably been the coolest thing about the whole experience is like looking over at me like, man, look at him react to, you know, these certain lines of the song that we really, you know, meant a lot to us. And so it's been really special.
Well, you know, Charles, I mean, we're not good friends by any stretch of the imagination, but we are buddies. And I want to tell you that, I couldn't be more proud of you. I'm happy for you to see.
Thank you, buddy.
The fact that you had the strength to make a decision that was not an easy decision to make. You had to shut it down. I know you guys had a tour planned. There's a lot that goes into that. And then to say, you know what? My family, my wife, my son, and my life is more important than what's going on over here.
Yeah.
And so for you to make that call and now come out of the other side, and yet you understand there's still a battle to fight.
Oh, yeah.
See what you've done, man. It's just absolutely, it's inspiring.
Well, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you having me on. Means the world. You actually timed it. I don't know if you're rabbit just right because my phone's about to die. It's like,
is it really?
Real I know. Quick, I was man. Like, I literally was about to go. I need to go find a phone charger.
No, before we let you go, though, I just want to say thank you, man. Good luck this week at the AT&T. I know you love golf as much as anybody does. So it's good to see you out there playing, having a good time, and it's good to see you taking care of yourself.
Thank you, man.
If people want to see Lady A, where can they see you guys?
Go to the website. Yeah, we're touring all this year. We got our tour. We're going to kick back up. We got some random shows here and there, some fairs and festivals, but the tour kicks off in April, maybe. This is how I'm that typical artist that, like, they just tell me where to go. But if you go on the website, you know, ladyday.com, go to, you know, wherever we are in the interwebs. But we got tour dates up, but it's going to be awesome, man. It's like, call it the Request Live Tour. So we're going to be taking requests online, but also in the audience live. And it's going to be pretty intimate. That's kind of what the goal of this tour is like, get back to some of that intimacy and in connection with the fans.
Nice. Well, you owe us a show here in Jacksonville. I know you guys were scheduled here in Jacksonville.
I know.
At the Furyk event, but so we'll definitely have to have you back here in Jax.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Appreciate it, Charles. Thank you so much, man. Thanks again. Appreciate have a great week at the AT&T, man.
PXG has done it again with the launch of a new lineup of drivers, fairways, hybrids, and irons. The new Gen 5 golf clubs deliver significantly increased MOI, faster ball speeds, longer distances, and tighter dispersions, all coupled with the exceptional feel and sound golfers have come to expect from PXG. Schedule your custom fitting or buy online at pxg.com.